Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. Emily here, one of your co-hosts. I'm super excited to share with you the next three episodes of our podcast season here. The beginning of March, I had the opportunity to travel down to the Houston Stock Show and Rodeo with our Texas team and interview some great people. I'm excited to share that with you today. Our first two interviews are with a client named Calvin Moreno. He talks about his Brahmin operation and how Transova has helped him in that. And then we also get to talk with PJ Budler, who is one of our team members. He is our international business manager, and he talks about all of the things that excite him about this new year and the Houston Stock Show. So excited to share those with you. Welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. I'm here today in Houston for the Stock Show and Rodeo. And our first interview of the day is with Calvin Moreno and Sarah Redden from Transova. So thank you guys for joining me. It's exciting to sit down and talk to you. Why don't you introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself, and obviously we want to hear about Moreno Ranches. So go ahead, Sarah.
Right. So I'm Sarah Redden. I'm currently a client service representative with Transova. I've been with the company, it'll be 10 years in October, and spent some time working in the lab and enjoy taking care of my customers now.
Yes. Well, thank you, Emily and Sarah. We, Calvin Moreno with Moreno Ranches. We have ranching operations in Florida and here in Texas. So we've started our Transova journey about 12 years ago. And back when the Transova division here in Texas was a three-man show, and it's definitely grown since then. So we're excited that our journey started young, and we've been able to keep it growing along with Transova.
So maybe talk a little bit specifically about your ranch, what you raise, kind of the goals around your, you know, your mindset of what is your picture perfect, you know, what you're breeding for.
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you, we are registered seed stock Brahmin producers, and we raise red Brahmins and gray Brahmins. And we're the largest registered Brahmin breeder in the country as it sits today. And, you know, our main objective of working with Transova has been utilizing that Transova slogan that multiplying success. And we've identified cattle that have certain traits that we want to reproduce. For example, maternal ability, reproduction, structure, you know, and of course, in the Brahmin world, pedigree is a big component. So we evaluate all those things and make some decisions and utilize Transova to maximize on those genetics and really kind of give us a leap of time, because you could do that when you're doing the embryo transplant program. We've also used the Transova genetic cloning division to create some clones over some of our top females and some of our top herd sires, and utilize that cloning division to preserve some of those genetics and bring some of those genetics back to life, particularly when we haven't had them available. And working with Sarah and the rest of the team here in Texas, one of the things that we enjoy about Transova is, and I always tell people this, one of the things that I enjoy the most is that personalized relationship, okay? To run a business of the magnitude that we do with the kinds of clients that we're servicing, selling embryos to, selling semen, or selling pregnancies, or selling IVF procedures, or whatever the case may be, the most important thing for that is having a good client service representative that can relate to the customer, that can explain to the customer the procedures, that can explain what happened if they didn't have a good day making embryos, And secondarily to that, and a very important thing also, is Transova has always stand behind what they do. And that's not just in a good way, in a bad way too. Over the course of 12 years, we've had some things that have happened, but they've always been good about being the first ones to stand up and say, hey, that was our fault. We're going to own up to it and we're going to make it right. And that's how this relationship has worked, you know, for so long. So Sarah and the rest of the client service team here in Texas have been stellar to work with. Of course, Diane with the cloning division, great to work with. Keeps you updated if you're making a clone, what the process is, how many pregnancies, how many live calves, and then when they're ready to go. So it's definitely a tremendous company that has helped us grow to the level we are today. And I feel like we've also helped Transova, you know, particularly finding out how these Brahman genetics will work on the lab, in the lab side.
Sarah, did you pay him to say all those nice things about you?
No.
Well, thank you. That's a great backstory. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of questions that I have from that, but, you know, maybe have you always raised Red Brahmins? Like, is this a family thing, or how did you get your start in this breed?
So Moreno Ranches was started a long time ago, probably a long time before I ever thought I was coming to be here. In 1819, and it was started by my family in Cuba, and it was a commercial cattle operation, sugarcane, honeybees, and tobacco, 40,000 acres of agriculture production land in Cuba. The family moved from Spain to Cuba when obviously Cuba was still a colony of Spain, and then started their journey there and has always been in the cattle. And would, you know, some of my ancestors would travel here to Texas and buy Brahman bulls from a lot of the ranches here and export them back to Cuba through Florida. And would use those Brahman bulls to create, you know, crossbred cows that would work in Cuba. So the Brahman breed has been in the family for a long time, not at the level that we are today as far as a purebred operation. Our focus is strictly seed stock today. But as a family business, we've been around for a little over 200 years.
So very cool that you can track your family history back then, that far back, and see the progression of the operation. Sarah tells me that you guys have moved from Florida to Texas now. Could you maybe talk a little bit about what that looks like?
So we're very much still in Florida. Our operations in Florida are still fully functioning, but we've transitioned some of our business model from Florida to Texas. And what that means is that Moreno Ranch's headquarters in Florida is essentially become a hub for housing recepts that we can calve out year round because of the good climates. And we own about 2,100 acres of good cow land in Florida that we can calve out year round our recepts. So what we've done is our transition into Texas is we house all of our herd sires here, we house all of our donors, and then we just launched a brand new partnership with Transova where we could have our donors aspirated right on site and do it during the lab in on site and have the Transova team come aspirate our donors where we don't have to have the donors go in clinic for any kind of aspirations. And that has helped tremendously, particularly when you've got donors that might be 15 to 20 years old and you don't want to put them on a truck and move them. So we're excited about that partnership. And of course, the beauty is we could, you know, get our embryos extracted in Texas, put them in an incubator and ship them to our Florida location and transfer fresh, or ship them anywhere and transfer fresh to one of our clients' facilities or anything like that. So it really makes the process functional for us moving forward.
That ease of customized service that we offer to clients like you, that, you know, you can do it on farm, and then also the shipping of embryos or semen through multiple locations has been really great to add to our toolbox of services. So it's nice to get somebody that's actually using it to talk about it. It's not just us making up stuff. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, from a customer service standpoint, we really do, as a company, try to focus on how to best help our clients with ease. This is a tricky business. Repro is a tricky subject in general, we're dealing with biological beings. And I think from a client service standpoint, the easier you can make it flow, the more business you're going to get and the better your clients are going to feel, the happier they are.
So one more question before we wrap here. You know, you've been doing this a long time, obviously. What advice would you give somebody that's just starting out, maybe in the Brahman breed or any breed, that wants to utilize IVF or an embryo transfer program?
You know, my number one advice would be patient. Be patient, and it's really, really hard to make this work when you're starting off because you don't have the consistency and the volume of the work to even out your numbers. And what I mean by that, if you're going to IVF one or two cows and you're only IVFing one or two cows over the course of a period of time, you have a really hard time. If you have a bad day, you have a really hard time averaging out those numbers. What works for Moreno Ranches is we do a large volume of donors, and we may have a donor that hits a home run, and we might have one that does a blowout, but at the end of the day, we average our numbers, and as a company, we're looking at consistency every time. So it varies, and what I would say to somebody starting off is be patient and identify cattle that are going to be fertile enough to work in this system. I do believe that reproduction is highly heritable, so try to multiply animals that are reproductively oriented because those are only going to get better and better every time.
I think that's where we've seen a lot of success in your herd with the high fertility of your females translating to those bulls that are able to freeze sex semen.
You know, it's absolutely remarkable, Sarah, now that we have a database going back 12 years to look at grandmothers of certain females or great-grandmothers of certain females up to 5 and 6 generations of maternal ability and how those females will perform reproductively every time. They'll have high numbers of oocytes. They'll have high numbers on the ferts. They'll have high reproductive rates when we put them, transfer those embryos in. And it's incredible, and that's why I'm a firm believer that reproduction is a highly, highly heritable trait. And then we've seen it not only on those females, but we've also seen it on the herd sire side, which is what you just mentioned about certain bloodlines of cattle that we've identified are highly reproductive oriented that will also now produce bulls that will sex semen.
Very good, yeah. Anything else, Sarah, that we missed that we should ask him before he runs off and starts the party?
Nope. I just want to thank you for taking this time to visit with us.
Thank you guys for all you do, and we look forward to our continued work together.
Appreciate it. Thank you again, and we'll catch you all next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
Thank you again to Calvin Moreno for joining us. I know it's a very busy week, and it was great to get to sit down and talk with him and hear a little bit more about him. Up next, we have PJ Budler, our international business manager, talking about pretty much anything and everything.
Hey everyone, Emily back here on the Powered by Transova podcast. We are continuing our interviews at the Houston Stock Show. Sitting with me right now is PJ Budler, the PJ Budler, our international business manager. How's it going, PJ?
Very good, Emily. It's a delight to be back in Houston. Houston was sorely missed last year with the cancellation, but what's amazing is there's a sense of permanence here. You know, when you arrive here, it's as though it never went anywhere and it's not going anywhere. And it's just good to see it functioning like the machine that it is.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are feeling that relief of being back. And we heard it this morning talking to Rachel and some other people that everybody's just like, finally, things are somewhat back to normal.
Yeah. And I think we needed it. You know, the industry, especially the southern U.S. states, needed it. The countries that do business with the U.S., that come in from all over the Americas, from Thailand, Australia, Southern Africa, they all needed this event to find the next good genetics that they can use. And I think just the human-to-human interaction that was sorely missed. You know, it makes a lot of the working in corrals with dust in your eyes worth it when the industry celebrated like it is this week.
Yeah. So maybe for those that have never been to this show, talk about the international audience that come to this and the business that goes down here, especially during the Open Brahmin Week.
So it's unique within the U.S. context, and the way to see that is when you go and watch the Brahmin or even the Brangus show, a little bit on the Beefmaster side too, in the Santa Gertrudis and Brayford, the crowd is more than 50% foreign, which is very unique. You know, the auctions are bilingual, and because they're catering to a wider audience. And I think what Houston does incredibly well from the hospitality standpoint is it just makes the entire experience for all these visitors as easy as it can be. You know, the red carpet is rolled out. There's food and there's music and there's a comfortable place to seat. They get international badges, so they're not paying for the arbitrary stuff like getting in and out of the grounds and the facilities and all that. And there's an appreciation towards that foreign market, which doesn't really exist at another show. Houston has really done a great job in that way.
Yeah. Definitely. I think you, on the dairy side, the equivalent would be like World Dairy Expo.
Yes,
with that.
Yeah.
International room.
Absolutely. So I think World Dairy Expo does a very similar job, but in terms of other beef shows, there isn't yet. I think there will be a push, certainly from the groups that I work with and from my side, to do more hospitality, because it turns into trade. You know, I think first you create awareness of that these events are happening. Then at the event, you create goodwill between the producers from different countries. And people like trading with people they know. So that goodwill turns into trade. And the Bos Indicus influenced breeds in the U.S., a lot of them wouldn't exist without the international trade. The vast bulk of their business is done outside of the U.S. borders.
We talked to Brett Knobs this morning about his Australian operation, and you know, it's amazing. He talks about he's here for 2 weeks sourcing genetics and everything, you know. And there's a lot of people here doing that, which I think is awesome. And even the breeders here, they're prepared. For I think Rachel said she had 250 people at her place in the last 2 days. Like, that's just amazing to me.
Well, and it's extraordinary, and that actually sets those breeders apart from the other breeders that don't make the trip. And I mean, so it's become a pilgrimage for some people, where that's the one event in the year that they make. Brett's a good example. So Brett Knobs had the most successful bull sale in the world last year of all breeds, averaged something like 23,000-24,000 across a couple of hundred bulls. And he'll tell you himself, one of the reasons is because of how much time and caution he spent, like hitting the road in the U.S., finding genetics that weren't necessarily even in Houston, visiting farms and ranches, finding them, and then using IVF and ET to propagate those genetics. And then he puts in thousands of embryos at his place. And that's what set him apart. And I think a lot of the breeders that come to Houston and then go and visit the farms and ranches in the U.S., they're finding the one that the people who don't make the pilgrimage will never find, you know, because if you don't go and, you know, turn over rocks in some small East Texas town and find the one that's going to work in your environment and with your objectives, then you're really stuck with what you've got. And Brett's probably done it as well as anyone has. And combine that with the incredible market in Australia, the Brahmin market there is unreal, you know, just the volume of bulls and the prices they get for them. But also he's just really good at what he does, such a professional, and puts out a very uniform product every year, has very good guarantees on those cattle. So he's been from a Transova standpoint, he's been a delight to work with, because there's no fringe conversations. He just gets down to business and he knows what he wants. And fortunately, we've been able to bring a product to him that's worked really well in terms of his conception rates and his live calf rates have been incredible in Australia. So he's sewn it up pretty tight, you know, the ways he's worked this out.
Yeah, just listening to him talk this morning about what he looks for in cattle and how passionate he is about keeping that consistent. Mm. And, you know, you can just see it, hear it when you talk to him. And then he's very passionate about keeping that uniformity throughout.
Yeah.
And then recognizing, too, where his cattle need improvement or, you know, how this will fit into his program and not go straying away from his ideal animal either, which I think takes a lot for a breeder.
It does, you know, and again, there are a lot of breeders who know how to breed cattle, but he's taken it two steps further. The one is he's prepared to travel and get uncomfortable and go to places that aren't the most convenient. And the other thing is he's prepared to invest in advanced reproductive technologies, you know, where there is an outlay of money up front, but he's realized through his sales that bringing those superior, better, newer genetics in and diversifying his offering, he's been rewarded tenfold through it. So, you know, it's a three-step process. He's got the talent and knows how to do it, but then he's made the trips and he's invested money in propagating the genetics that he liked. Because there are a lot of guys who can find the right cattle, but then it's been prepared to actually put some skin in the game.
Right, yeah. Well, and two, making sure you have recips that are going to take those embryos and then raise the calves, and then you got feed and it's
and
the
finding
whole,
the right technicians. And so that's where I think his results have been good, because he was working with a really good embryo from us. And then after that, he found the best technicians in Australia to do the transfers, and he made sure his recips were right. And I mean, there were quite a few runs where he was up in the high 50s, low 60s on frozen IVF embryos that we'd made for him. And I mean, that's good no matter who you talk to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So PJ, other than judging yesterday, you judged the Herefords and Angus, what other exciting things have you experienced this week, or maybe conversations that you've had that you can share, you know?
So this week's always very busy for me. So besides the judging, I also give out our Champion of the World Awards in all the different Bos Indicus breed shows and the Wagyu show. And what that does, and this was lucky for me. I didn't plan it to be this way, but luckily what happened was it puts me in front of some of the best breeders in the world, because they're getting their banner and their buckle and certificate and photo op in front of that crowd. And that starts a conversation which I don't think I could have had as easily with this vast array of breeders from all over the world. So then investing some time in those conversations and having a meal and sitting and watching the show, learning what they want. And it's, again, I mean, I know it seems too systematic, but it's that three-step process. It's awareness, goodwill, and then trade, you know. And I honestly believe that people will trade with people that they're comfortable with and have some rapport with, and maybe that even trumps quality sometimes, you know. So if we can bring quality with that rapport, then I think we can build a strong network.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have a good product, but you have to have the people and the relationships built to support that, right?
Absolutely.
And that's how you do business, especially in the cattle business.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a relationship game. I mean, it's just a people business. And I think people have moved beyond being sold a product by someone they don't know. You know, I think people want long-term relationships. They want to be able to call in if they're confused about something, or if they have a query or question or complaint. That the version of sales that worked in the 20th century isn't going to work in the 21st century. People want that relationship. They're tired of the mechanized, you know, approach that people learn in a sales school. You know, they're wanting some reality.
Definitely. They want to have a face to the name, to the email, whatever.
Absolutely. You know, and these events are great for that, because you get to see everyone you need to see and more. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. So.
From a Transova standpoint, PJ, what are you excited about for this year? You know, you're finally getting to travel again internationally, you know, where there's a lot of cool things going on within Transova itself. What are you excited about?
Well, I think the it works two ways with travel, because the international market is open again to travel to the US with restrictions changing and vaccination rates going up and COVID positive results going down. So we're going to have a lot more potential clients coming to us. And then from a travel perspective, a lot of the congresses and the shows and events and speaking opportunities around the world that for 2 years disappeared are coming back again now. And that's what I'm excited about, because if you go to an event and you're speaking at that event or judging the show or part of the fabric of the event, not just attending, it just gives you a giant leap into actually doing something with the people there. We've got some exciting new labs and joint ventures in several different countries that we're working towards. I don't want to go into any detail there, but the Transova footprint, as established as it is in the US, with locations just all over the country, it's going to be nice to see those footprints landing on the map outside of the US as well.
Yeah, it's definitely been a long time coming, and it'll be nice to get those going and set up and reach some of our international friends.
Yeah, I mean, COVID, for someone like me who really thrives off the international business exclusively to a point, COVID made me redundant in some ways, you know.
Yeah.
Just like I was stuck in a box, and I'm not good in a box, you know. Yeah, so it was tough.
You know? Yeah, you probably were at home longer, like the longest length of time in a long, long time,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We broke all the records.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure your wife was happy and maybe sick of you by the end of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there was a bit of both of that every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glad you're here. When are you leaving?
Yeah. Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah. Well, what else? I mean, is there anything else that you want to add? Anything I didn't ask here?
Well, I think seeing as that we're in Houston, just from a Brahmin and Boss Indicus context, you know, the concept of Brahmin is very foreign to most of the U.S. market. You know, you go into the Western states and into the Midwest and the North, it's not a thing. You know, it's not an entity at all, because they're specialists in heat tolerance, in insect resistance. Their hardiness is a different type of hardiness. Their hardiness is taking humidity and insects and all that. So to be hardy as an animal in the North, you have to take frozen winters, and you know, and it's a completely different set of challenges. But why this is so relevant from an international standpoint is the growth in cattle numbers around the world in both beef and dairy are going to be in the tropics and subtropics. And in order to be there, the first criteria is heat tolerance and insect resistance. So the Brahmin breed and the derivatives of Brahmin are going to play a huge part in growing the cattle industry worldwide. And this is the source. You know, this is where the people come to get it. So as amazing as it is with a lot of US breeders breeding these Brahmin cattle for the junior market, you know, the sport market of showing junior cattle, or the Houston show type environment, there's a massive responsibility on these guys to get it right, because the next frontier is going to involve genetics that were sourced from this area. And so they've got to get a lot of things right in order to get that next frontier established correctly, fundamentally built with animals that have longevity, that have fertility, that have efficiency, that have adaptability. And I think it's going to take a while. The progressive breeders definitely understand that, but there are a lot of people who are quite successful within the US Brahmin industry that haven't quite realized how important their job actually is yet. You know, that heifer that they breed that might win Houston, the ripple effects that heifer will have worldwide is beyond what they can contemplate or comprehend at the moment. And I think that's an awareness that I think we all need to push, is guys, just make sure that you're covering your bases, because what you do here is going to be felt in Bolivia and in Thailand and, you know, in East Africa. And if you're going to compromise on certain traits, the knock-on effect's going to be potentially devastating, you know. So it's good, but we have to be cautious.
Yeah. And I mean, is there any other breed that has that much impact worldwide, do you think?
So I'd say it's probably the family of breeds. So Brahman's a composite from just over 100 years ago that involved several different Bos Indicus breeds from India. Brahman's definitely the most dominant worldwide, but now when you get into dairy, then the Gir cattle become very, very influential. Gujarat as well, and then the Nellore in Brazil, Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador is even more dominant than Brahman down there, but that's also one of the Brahman ingredients. So I think just that Bos Indicus family of breeds as a whole is going to be very, very essential for building that industry. Now in the US, it's really Bos Indicus is 98% Brahman here. You know, they're 2% of the cattle are other Bos Indicus breeds. Where you get down to Brazil and it's the opposite. It's 98% Nellore and Brahman, but it's that family of Indian breeds that's going to make the difference.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think, you know, when we talk about efficiency and sustainability, I think the Brahman family fits into that, especially if, you know, if things start to get warmer, our climates, you know, we're going to need cattle that are sustain that. So.
Absolutely. And also, I think we're starting to realize that changing the environment to suit the cow is expensive and it's not sustainable. Where, you know, having a cow that fits the environment is it's a lot more profitable, a lot more efficient in how to do it, and it doesn't require the capital outlay of building infrastructure to make cattle comfortable. You know, so you make better animals when you make them to fit into certain environments.
Yeah.
Than vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
Most definitely. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, PJ, for sitting down and talking to me this morning. It's been it's always interesting to talk to you and learn from you.
Emily, I'm honestly tickled that you invited me back. I always wonder when my last invitation's going to come. But the fact that you trusted me with this microphone has made my day.
I can really still edit it. Things, so.
Okay, well.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no one might get to hear that, but it's always good to chat to you. Thank you.
No, I'm going to leave that in. Yeah, thanks, PJ. It is great to talk to you. And again, I will post your email. So if anybody, we do have quite a few international listeners to the podcast. So I'll post your email. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you, they can. And of course, you can always check out our website if you have additional questions. So thanks again for listening to the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.